continue in our One Prayer series where we're in. We are partnering with over 1,200 churches across the United States and some even worldwide, where we are praying the same prayers. As you see in your bulletin, there is a insert for the daily prayer focus this week and things that are going on. All these churches and everybody in the churches who are partnering with the One Prayer, we're all praying these same themes, looking at these same scriptures every day. We heard from Pastor Craig Horschel on the first week of this series, live through video, and then over the rest of the time, each pastor is preaching their own message to go along with the same theme. We're all preaching the same theme, the theme of unstoppable. This year is a theme. We're preaching on the theme unstoppable, and every pastor is preaching his own message to go along with that theme. But today is Father's Day, and so how many are glad for fathers? Anybody here thankful for fathers? Yeah, man. How many know without a father, you wouldn't be here today? You're right? Okay. So we're thankful for fathers. I was reading a story the other day about a father whose son had just turned 16, and he'd just gotten his license and passed his test for his license. And he came to his father and said, "Dad, I got my license now. Do you think I can start borrowing the family car and taking it out?" And dad said, "Son, that's a fair question." He goes, "I'll make you a deal." He goes, "You bring your grades up from a C average to a B average." He says, "If you'll begin to read your Bible, just a little bit, begin to read your Bible a little bit more and show me that you're showing some things after God. And if you'll just cut your hair, I promise you, I'll let you start taking the car." So he said, "That sounds like a fair enough deal, Dad." So he shook on it. And about 6 weeks later, the dad came to the son and said, "Son, I notice you're bringing your grades up, and I'm very, very proud of you bringing your grades up. And I notice that you've been studying your Bible. You've been reading your Bible. But I have noticed you still haven't got your hair cut." And the son said, "Well, Dad, I've been reading in the Bible. And in the Bible, I read about a guy by the name of Samson. And he had long hair. And I was reading about a guy named Moses, and I saw the movie, and he had long hair. The Word of God talks about John the Baptist, and he had long hair. And there's even hard evidence today that says this, that even Jesus himself had a mullet." And his dad said to his son, "But son, did you also read where every one of those guys walked where they went?" So cut your hair. Well, today we're going to talk about unstoppable, unstoppable mighty men, unstoppable mighty men. How many know we got some mighty men in this house today? Turn to your neighbor and say, "We got some unstoppable mighty men." Come on, say it again. We got some unstoppable mighty men in this house. In Job chapter 3 and verse 9, look at our text today. "For the Lord has spoken." How many know when God speaks, people listen, right? I mean, it doesn't get any more powerful than this as we set up this verse. "For the Lord has said this," has spoken. "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war." Look what it says here. I love this phrase. "Wake up, the mighty men." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Wake up. Wake up, the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up." Now today, I'm not going to speak to you for a long time. I'm going to be very cautious of your time because of being a Father's Day. But I do have a challenge today to this house, is that we have some unstoppable men in this house. And it's time for these men to wake up. It's time for our men to wake up and say, we have some mighty men. Mighty men need to wake up. Mighty men need to come alive. Mighty men need to step forward and say, "God, I am ready to do battle. God, I am ready to fight for my family. I'm ready to fight for my church. I'm ready to fight for my generation. I'm ready to fight for the cause of advancing the kingdom of God." There are some mighty men in this house that God is wanting to wake up. Statistics tell us this as we read stats. They say that 90% of men in America say they believe in God. Can you believe that? Over 90% of the men in America say they believe in God. 5 out of every 6 Christians, men, say they're Christians. 5 out of every 6 men claim to be a Christian in America. But only 35% attend church. Only 35% of the men in America attend church somewhere. And only 1 in 5 women have their husbands sitting next to them in church today. Only 1 in 5 women have their husbands sitting next to them in church today. There's something about the American culture where there's something about men not connecting with the church. Do you realize in every other religion that men outnumber the women? But only in Christianity do we find where the women are outnumbering the men. What is that? Well, I believe it's something very clear that Satan's got a plan. He don't care about the other religions. He's accomplishing something through the men in those religions. He wants something to happen in the Christian religion, Christianity. He does not want the men to get excited. He does not want the men to get connected. He doesn't want the men to wake up, because if the men wake up, they're going to be ready for battle. Because within every man in this house, there's a warrior that God has placed inside you. Well, Pastor, I'm just not... Yeah, baloney. Inside you is a warrior of God that God's put in there that He's wanting to awaken your heart today. He's wanting you to wake up. He's calling mighty men to wake up. I mean, there were real men in the Bible. Think about it, man. God's Bible is full of words. It's full of real men. I mean, Moses, man. Look at the man he used, man. This guy floating down the Nile River as a young child in the baskets fighting off alligators. At least I let the movie said, okay? Anyway, he's fighting off alligators. Raised as a prince of Egypt. Someone goes to beat one of his fellow citizens there that he realizes is part of his heritage. And he kills that guard defending him. Then he takes off and runs and hides out in the backside of the desert as a fugitive. I mean, and this is the guy that God used to deliver His people. A fugitive. A warrior. A man who was not afraid to fight. A man who wasn't afraid to go out and rough it. It was a man who was not afraid. We look at Elisha and Elijah. And we look at Elisha and how, you know what? He said, God, I'll call down fire if I have to prove that my God is real. He was a man's man. He was not afraid to get in somebody's grill and say, you know what? My God is big enough to call down fire if I need to. You guys go ahead and go out and try to do your own sacrifices. You try to call upon your gods. And Word of God says they were out there having this kind of a contest. How many know competition is just born inside of a man? I mean, we just can't help it, man, can we? Competition just rises up within us. Whether we're driving down the street, come on. Some of you know when your kids aren't in the car, and that car pulls next to you, and inches just a little bit forward, what do? You let off your brake and you inch just a little bit forward too. And they inch a little forward. I mean, all of a sudden your blood's pumping, and if you're not careful, you'll take off. I'm going to take this I'm going to take this four cylinder and give it everything I got, man. We're going to go. Don't look at the car seat and back, but I'm going down there, man. I mean, we're just something about competition raises up within us. We're ready. We see here. Where he said, "Man," he said, "you put your sacrifices out. Do what you want." We'll see whose God's the biggest, man. We see they're out there praying their God. God, come, oh Baal, come and bring fire to the sacrifice. They're praying to the idols. These demonic worshipers are out there doing their thing. And I mean, look what the man of God's doing. You know what he's doing? He's sitting over on the side going, "Hey, where's your God? Is he in the bathroom? Maybe he's constipated." I mean, this is a man's man. This is what he's saying to him. Read the scripture. He said, "What's he doing, man? He's maybe using the bathroom." I mean, he's just tantalizing these guys. And then when it's his turn, he doesn't only pray fire down, but he says, "Soak it in water. Build a trench around here and surround it in water." I mean, he was a man's man because God had raised up a man of faith, and he knew his God was going to do something. God raises up men who are ready. We see David, man, where David rose up with a warrior. He had a mighty men of value who were with him, man. These guys are not afraid to take on the giant. David wasn't afraid to take on the lion. Wasn't afraid to take on the bear. I mean, all through Scripture we see where God used mighty men who were not afraid to flex a little muscle, who were not afraid of a little competition, who were not afraid to do what they had to do. Even Peter. Look at Peter when they came to take Christ away in the garden. He was the first one he was packing the sword. Can you believe that, man? One of the 12 disciples packing some heat, man. He pulled that sword out. Cut off the ear of the soldier. And Jesus said, Hang on, Pete. I know you're my posse and all, but hang on. This is not the time and the place. And he heals that guy's ear. But man, Pete was not afraid to stand up for Christ. He was not afraid to do something. There was a warrior mentality in them. Look at the disciples. These were not a bunch of pansy guys, man. These were fishermen. I mean, these were burly men. These were professionals. But these are guys who were not afraid to do the will of the Father. They were not afraid to rise up and to say, God, I want you to wake me up. I'm not called just to be a tax collector. I'm not called just to be a professional. I'm not called just to be a fisherman. But God, I'm called after you. Wake me up, God. Wake me up and be a mighty man after your heart. God, I want to follow after you. God, woke up these men. Jesus' ministry was a magnet to men. I mean, look at it. Even when he was teaching on the hillside, the Bible lists there was 5,000 men there. It doesn't even take time to list the women and children. He said, but there were 5,000 men there. Why? Because Jesus drew men to him. Jesus had a way of going to you and said, listen, man, straighten up. I got something better for you. Get your eyes off the other things, and I got something better for you. It's called the kingdom of God. And man, get up. And he would go to men, and he would challenge them, and they would respond. He had men who were not afraid to say, God, I want more of you. I want to be thirsty after you. We use excuses. Men don't like structure, so they don't like the church. Then why do they sign up in the military in a record number? I mean, you talk about structure. They're going to have this structure, aren't they, Carl? They're structured. I mean, you talk about being structured, being told what to do. Their life doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the U.S. government. And they tell them when to wake up and when to shut up and when to stand up and when to go to bed. I mean, structure, I don't believe that. Well, men, they don't like to be expressive. So they're not going to get in the church. They're not going to worship the Lord. How many of you have ever been to a ball game? Men are crazy, aren't we? Man, we're going to paint our face. We'll have our shirt off in 30 below weather out there. Woo! Going crazy. Don't tell me men are not expressive. You can't. I mean, it don't make a difference if it's Little League. I mean, I think one of the funnest things to be at the ballpark is that age when they first get to the hitting machine. They hit the pitch machine that first stage there. What's about number, I think, 6 and 7 years old. They go to the hit pitching machine. It's the first time they really get a chance. T-ball is fun. But when they first get that pitching machine, they get to hit the ball. I mean, every little hit, the crowd goes crazy. I mean, no other stands are near as loud as these years right here. It's first time because there's something about people who just are so competitive, man. We're so competitive, and these dads are going crazy. Yeah! My son, he can't hit the ball. Yes! I mean, really, so something about it that really drives the competition inside us. We are expressive. You know, I like to go to a lot of movies. A lot of you guys know that. It's kind of a funny joke here. We talk about movies a lot. And one of the things that my wife and I have a deal is that she'll let me go see the guy flicks, but I have to go with her to see chick flicks sometimes. Any guys know what I'm talking about when I say chick flicks? Okay. And, you know, you sit through a chick flick, and it really becomes funny because I'm there, and I'm watching a story, and I can tell you this, that I'm a deep person, and I can appreciate a chick flick, okay? I really can appreciate it. It may not be my first choice, but I can sit down. As long as it's got a good storyline, I can follow along and be somewhat relevant, you know, and understand what's going on. But I find myself every time looking at the girls crying and laughing, and they're in a movie, okay? My wife gets so mad, quit your laughing, you know, look at her crying, you know? It's just the movie. And then I went with my daughter I took her to see the last song, and she didn't tell me what it was about, I just knew she wanted to see it, and I'm being a good dad, bonding time with my daughter, so we go to see this movie, my 16-year-old daughter, and we saw this movie, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, the dad dies, and I'm like, you know, but most of the time, it doesn't move me, okay? It doesn't move me. I'd rather have action. I mean, these girl flicks do nothing. How many know guys react differently than women? Don't we? I mean, we like different things. Matter of fact, I think I saw this video clip. I thought I'd show it to you. Guys, we're just made up totally different. Different things move us. Look at this combination of things that really move us in movies.
Will you fight?
No!
We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you.
This could be the greatest night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails,
but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here.
this far, no farther.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
A person grits his teeth and shows real determination.
Failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day. Never surrender.
Victory or death.
That's the Chicago way.
Who's with me?
Clap! Clap! Don't let him die! Clap!
All right, let's fly!
And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall
know my name is the Lord when I tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day!
I mean, guys, we're just motivated by different things, aren't we? I mean, this different thing. Some of you guys are already like, yeah, Rudy, Rude. I mean, some of you guys are already ready to do it. I mean, the guys at my house, we control the DVR. We got Rudy and Hoosiers and Remember the Titans, you know, Lord of the Rings. We got all the movies that are just there. I mean, Braveheart, you can find them right there in our DVR. You can just find them out. Guys, we are moved differently than women. And this is the problem with the church, I believe, is this, is that the church, too long, we've allowed the church to become a chick flick. Now, women, this is no, listen to me, women. This is no slam against the women, okay? You are awesome, and you've had your Mother's Day. But this is Father's Day, and I'm preaching to the guys. Too long, we've allowed the church to become a chick flick. And I was studying this out, thinking, where did women and men begin to separate, and women become dominant in Christianity, and we see where men begin to become less and less dominant. And you can trace it all the way back to the Dark Ages. You can trace it back when the priesthood was established, and especially the Catholicism and the Catholic Church. And you can see where, you know, guys in robes who wore these funny robes, and they didn't want to get married. They didn't want to have sex all their life. I mean, there's something about this that's not attractive to a man, okay? Something about living a life of, you know, celibate is not attractive to a man. Something about wearing that funny-looking robe. And so we see through the Dark Ages where, over time, men begin to disconnect with the church. And we see where things happened over time where they had done this. Look at this list of words that were given. Tell me what you think of. When I say these words, feelings, sharing, love, communication, support, help. Does that engage anybody here? Does that excite anybody here? Any ladies like those words? All right. Guys, see if you like these words here. This list of words. Power, efficiency, achievement, skill, goal-oriented, competition, success. I mean, just listing those words kind of makes a man go, yeah. You know, our voice gets a little bit deeper right there. I mean, the testosterone just flowing a little bit hotter right there, man. It's going right there. Just hearing those words. They did a survey and showed this list of words to a group of men and asked them which list best describes the church. And each one of the men, just about every one of them, picked the list that had feelings and sharing and love, communication and support and help. No wonder our men are disconnecting, man. Where are the men who are waking up and say, I'm ready to be a mighty warrior for God? Where are the men who say, God, I want you to raise me up? Where are the men who say, I'm not afraid to be a man, and I'm going to do it proud. I'm going to serve the Lord proudly. I'm going to be here. I'm going to lead my family. God is looking for some men who are going to wake up and do war. God is looking for some men who are not afraid to step up and do the call of the Lord. We teach our men that they are the bride of Christ, which is a very, very important doctrine, okay? You've heard me teach on the Bride of Christ, but there's something about the Bride of Christ that men have a hard time relating to, okay? We just don't see ourselves in a wedding dress, okay? We don't see ourselves in a wedding dress. And so we have a hard time connecting. And then we talk about heaven, and even the people out in the world, they paint a picture of heaven of us sitting on a cloud out there, listening to some fat baby strum a harp, you know? They're like, listen, the kingdom of heaven is not a baby sitting on a cloud strumming harp. The kingdom of heaven, listen, is about men who want to reign and rule. God says, I'm going to reward those men and women who step up and who do the will of the Father, who earn a reward. He says, I'm going to put you in charge of kingdoms and places and cities. Remember, listen, it doesn't end when we get to heaven. We're going to reign and rule. And those men who have been dominant, those men who raise up and have fought for God, they're going to be placed over cities. They're going to be placed over people. Listen, it doesn't stop right here. God is calling us to raise up. The Word of God says the kingdom of God suffereth violent. And what? The violent do what? They take it by force. It's a forceful thing. It's not a pansy thing. Okay? Yes, we are the Bride of Christ, and we understand grace and everything that goes along with that. But there's also a warrior mentality that God's wanting to raise up, especially in His men. All through Scripture we see it. Well, God raised up a warrior, a mighty man of valor, who will listen to the voice of God, who was not afraid to go against the tide of culture, who was not afraid to go against the peer pressure that came along with today's society and says, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. There's something about God wanting to raise up these men and wake men up. It takes guts to have faith. And faith means having guts. Faith is not for the weak-hearted. Faith means I have guts enough to believe that God is bigger than any problem I can face. I have guts enough to believe if I step out and do what God's asked me to do, even though it's out of my comfort zone, even though I've never been there before, if God is asking me, He shall provide. He shall give me victory. He shall make the way. God is looking for those men of faith who are not afraid to step out and to kill your Goliath, to kill your giant that you face. The Lord says today, wake up, mighty men. The Lord's saying today, wake up, mighty men. We need you now. We need you. We need to call men to wake up. We need to call men to wake up in the church and say, wake up and rise up. Why is it important that our men raise up? Why is it important that our men wake up? Because our boys are following our men. Come on, we got sons, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our sons are looking to their dads, and they're following after their dads. I got some kids that love to wrestle. They love to, they just love to do it. Why? Because their dad does it, man. I come home, spending time with Nan and Papa, and they tell me stories about what I did when I was a kid. I'm like, you weren't supposed to know that. They weren't supposed to tell you that. Dad, tell me about the time that you busted that kid in the nose when he was mouthing off to you and you got suspended from school. You're not supposed to know that. You know, don't do that. But they're looking and watching me. They're looking at me worship. They're watching me. Do I lift my hands in worship? When I lift my hands in worship, you know what my kids do? They lift their hands in worship. When I bow my knee to worship, you know what my kids do? They bow their knee in worship. They're looking to me as their father. They're looking to me. And so we need men to wake up and to rise up because we got young boys who are following fathers everywhere. We got to raise up the next generation of warriors with men who are not afraid to step out. Jesus knew if he reached the men, he would reach the family. Jesus knew this principle. This is why he called men around him, because he knew if he could reach the men, he could reach the women and children. He knew the men were the ones who could reach the family. We see stats today tell us that families where just a mom comes to church and follows after God, that her children have a 17% chance of staying in the faith. When the mom comes by herself, we're not talking about single moms here, but we're talking about where the parents are married and the mom comes to church alone. When the mom comes to church alone, that there's a 17% chance that the children will stay in church and stay in the faith. But we see stats that tell us when the husband will come and go to church with the mom. and they come together, that there is a 93% chance, 93% chance that the children will stay in the faith. Huge. This is huge. 93% of them stay in when the father comes to church with the mom. We see this happen a few weeks ago. I told you a story about Paul and Silas and the jailer who was saved. When the jailer was saved, what happened? It says that he took him back to his home, and it says the whole family was saved. The whole family was baptized. The whole family began to profess the Lord and Savior. When the dad gets saved, things change. When the men lead, things change. Excuse me, guys. We must wake up the mighty men. We must wake up the mighty men. Look what Proverbs says in chapter 14, verse 1. A wise woman. All right, ladies, this is for you. You didn't think I was going to leave you out, did you? Look what it says here. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. What does this mean? It means that a wise woman knows when she has a warrior next to her. A wise woman will speak life into her home. A wise woman will speak life into her home. A foolish woman will tear it down. Listen, ladies, let me tell you this. If you have a man who is here today, if you have a husband who's coming to church with you, please, please don't put him down. If you could just be a little bit more of a spiritual leader, our home would do much better. Don't be a nag who tears down her home. Listen, if you're here today and you have a husband that's here with you, count yourself blessed, because according to stats, only 1 in 5 women have that privilege today. If you have a husband who has their family in church, yes, he may not be perfect. Yes, he may still need a lot of growing spiritually and maybe even physically maturing. It's okay, because we're men. And as you can tell, a lot of immature things really move us, okay? There's still a boy trapped inside of all of us men. There always will be that boy inside of us. We never outgrow that. But don't tear it down by saying, if you could only change this, if you would only do this. Yeah, don't tear it down. The foolish woman tears down. So this is just the opposite. It's just important, right? The opposite must be true then. If a foolish woman tears it down, then the wise woman does what? Builds it up. It's the wise woman that says, honey, the way you drove us to church today, we were there in record time. I tell you what, you took the back way and you had us there. I appreciate you getting out of bed. I know your hair's not cleaned up and you probably didn't shower and you stink a little bit. But you know what? You're in church. And I thank God that you're in church today. Praise your man. Praise your children. Praise them. Lift them up. It's the wise woman who speaks life into her home. It's the wise woman who builds up her husband. It's the wise woman who builds up her children. She doesn't put her husband down to her children. Well, if you're a good-for-nothing lazy dad would never change what he does. No, it's the wise woman who speaks life. Your dad's a mighty warrior. Yeah, he doesn't know it yet, but he's a mighty warrior. And God's going to wake him up. God's waking him up. Today we need men who will wake up. He may not be Brad Pitt, but you're not Angelina Jolie either, okay? It all evens out. It all evens out. Oh, come on. You know what I'm saying. All right. Women, let's make a deal, okay? As your pastor, if you have a husband that comes here, I want to make a deal with you. You praise your husband. If he's here at church, you praise him, okay? You build him up. And you let me convict him through the Holy Spirit, okay? You let me challenge them. You let me challenge them to build up, to be more spiritual, to grow maturity. Let me. It's going to be a lot more effective coming from another man, a pastor, than it is coming from their wife, okay? I can just tell you right now, as a wife does it, we're going to shut down. If it's something about a man, we just shut down. But if you'll praise him and he's here, I am here, aren't I? Yeah, I did get up. Yeah, I am here. My breath does stink, but I'm still here. All right, I'm here. I am here. And he gets to church, and then I can say, wake up! Wake up, you warrior. Wake up, you mighty man. Wake up. God has never designed for you to stay where you're at, but he's designed for you to raise up above the fray. He's called you to raise it to a higher dimension, a higher calling in Jesus Christ. He wants you to lead your family out of the wilderness. He wants you to lead your family. He wants you to lead your workplace. He wants you to lead your school. He wants you to lead your neighborhood, your family, to be an example. Wake up, mighty men. Let me call them out through the power of the Holy Spirit that God is going to call. Look what Samuel 10:26 says. And we're going to close with this scripture. And Saul, also went home to Gibeah, and the valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had what? Touched. Now, I've read this scripture many times in my life, and as I was reading it recently, it just popped out to me differently. You love it when God does that to you, that you read something you read a lot of times, and all of a sudden you read it again, and something just pops out. This is one of those verses that just popped out. Saul was going back home, and it says, and the valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. And as I read that, I began to pray that prayer. God, allow your heart, Lord. Allow my heart, God. Allow the men of Destiny Church, Lord. Allow our hearts to be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow our hearts to be touched by God. Because, see, there's something that happens when your heart's touched. There's something that happens that God moves in a man's heart. And God will touch your heart. God will do it, guys. He will do it. He will touch your heart and cause you to wake up today. This is what God's asking. What if every man in this room would say, God, make me a part of a band of men whose heart you have touched? That's a good question, isn't it? What if every man in this room would say, God, make me a part of a band of men whose heart you have touched? I'm going to ask my dads today. Matter of fact, every man here in this room, if you're a guy today, I'm going to invite you to come down to the front and join me as we close out the service. Can the guys, yeah, even teenagers, guys, you can come and join us. I'm speaking to every man today. If you're a first-time guest, don't worry. I'm not going to do anything that's going to embarrass you. But I want you to come and join us today. What do you think, ladies? This is a good-looking group of guys up here. Yeah. Guys, I just say to you today, as your pastor, as the minister today, I say this to you. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. That should be our prayer. God, wake me up to make me a mighty man that you're calling me to be. I believe that God is raising up a group of men in this church who are going to lead. They're going to lead. It's not the women's job to lead everything. We need guys who are going to lead. And we have a lot of guys who are already doing that, and I commend you. And we even have we're beating the odds here, okay? Our curve is, we're higher than these stats I ran there, okay? So you're doing good. But I'm here today to challenge you. Don't stop there. Let's go forward, man. Let's go forward. Let's go forward. Wake up some mighty men who says, God, I want to be everything you called me to be. I want to be everything I call. Any men here today, even raise your hands, pastor, it's me. I'm ready for God to wake me up into a new level, take me to a higher dimension, and call me to a new call for what God wants me to do. Whatever He asks me to do. And guys, it's very easy to get sidetracked in them. And we got families to take care of, support, jobs, a career. I mean, we're being pulled. So for you to make this commitment, it's going to take you saying, God, move me beyond where I'm at. Because I'm very easily distracted. I'm very easily distracted. I do good just to be here sometimes. So we feel. And I understand that. Sometimes we're being pulled from every end, and you know, and only time you have off to catch up on the yard is on Sunday morning, and it's very easy to stay home and be just cutting that yard or plowing that, man, or you know, whatever it takes. And so pressure's going to pull you, but make a commitment. You know what? It's for me and my house. We're going to be at the church every time we can, and we're not only just going to be here. We're going to participate. I'm not going to be afraid to be a warrior who raises his hands in victory and says, God, I'm going to worship you. God, I'm going to praise you. Some of you thought worship was about surrender, and it is. It's also about a sign of victory. Haven't you ever seen Rocky? A picture of Rocky when he's standing on the steps like this? I mean, it's a sign of victory, man. So when you raise your hands to the Lord, It's not just a sign of saying, God, I surrender, but it's a sign of, God, you have given me victory. God, you have made me a warrior. God, you're waking me up to be more, be more. Some of you here today say, well, my dad just didn't. All right, great. But you know what? Let's cut loose of the excuses and say, you know what? I'm starting something different from my family and my children. They're going to know their dad was a person who loved God. They're going to know their dad was not a man who was afraid to do battle. That means at times you're going to have to fight spiritual battles with your family. You're going to get in there and dig through things that are hard. Satan's going to try to tear you apart. He's going to try. And we know that. He fights all of us. He'll come through our children. He'll come through our marriage. He'll hit our finances. He'll hit our job. He's going to hit you, man. And as a man, we feel the weight of that so strong. But as we yield our heart to God and say, God, no matter what we go through, we're not going to give up. We're going to fight for it. Today, I want you to wake me up. Now, today, if you feel comfortable doing this, I want you just to raise your hands to heaven. If that's you, say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready for God to make me a mighty warrior. I want to pray this prayer of blessing over you. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, with our hands lifted up to the Lord today, I pray over every young man, every old man, every father, every son in this house, Lord. I pray to Father right now through the anointing of your Holy Spirit that, God, you begin to raise up and wake up mighty men who are not afraid to go after the kingdom of God, who are not afraid to say, God, I want your kingdom. God, I can be aggressive in your kingdom. You never called the men to be silent, but, God, we should be leading in worship. We should be leading in prayer. We should be leading in serving. We should be leading in giving. God, we should be leading in speaking. We should be leading, God, our families, our children. I pray right now, God, I come against anything in their mind that would cause them to be fearful. God, we cast aside any fear, and I pray that, God, you would rise up, Lord, a new generation. Every generation represented here, God, there will be a new generation of men who will rise up and say, God, we're full of courage. We're full of power of your Holy Spirit who's willing to go out and do what you called us to do. God, I pray that, Father, right now, for every man whose hand is lifted, right now, that, God, you begin to see them as mighty men of warriors, God, not complacent, but, God, who are hungry and passionate, God, to be followers of you, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they will make that claim. As for me and my house, we will and shall serve the Lord. And Father, I pray blessing over them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray empowerment, God, right now. God, I pray empowerment, God, to empower them, God, to go beyond where they're at. Lord, to lift them up, God, to go beyond. God, they've lifted me up all year. So right now, I lift them up in the name of Jesus, God. I raise your hands up spiritually. God, may they feel your anointing today flowing through every one of them here, God. Receiving of you, God. Fresh anointing, fresh boldness in their life, God. We're thanking you, Father. We thank you now, God, that you are empowering us and making us mighty men of valor. Mighty men that are unstoppable through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you together. And we say together, guys, amen. Come on, guys, let's get a hand clap right here. Yeah. Amen. Ladies, I think you need to give these guys a standing ovation. What do you think about that? Yeah, you guys, ladies back here. Any ladies appreciate these guys up here? Yeah, man. Guys, let me say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm very proud of you. Don't give up, okay? Don't give up. Don't give up. Let me say again to you, don't give up. Because if you do, I'm going to come and kick you in the seat. I was watching a video last night of me coaching. My son had out this video of a halftime speech, and I told those guys, we're going to take this ball, we're going to shove it down the throat, we're going to come out at halftime and just cram it down the throat. My kids were laughing at me. I get kind of worked up sometimes. But that's the way I feel this morning. Guys, we're going to take this ball, and we're not going to give up. We're going to shove it back down Satan's throat and tell him to pick on somebody else, because God has given us the victory. God has given us power over our enemy. And to those who don't give up, to those who persevere, to those come the victory. Amen. Hey, give someone a high five next to you. Give a guy a high five next to you. Say, man, just don't give up. God bless you today, guys. I appreciate you very much. You enjoy the rest of your afternoon. You guys have a great time with your family. We'll say God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.